It's Sam Cedar. Introducing whiny ass teeny baby conservatives to the truth. Wow, wow, conservatives. That's you crying. The left just got a little bit louder on The Majority Report.
It is Tuesday, January 4th, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is The Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, we have our full complement of staff here today. Dorsey is back. He's wearing a neck warmer. You can check that out on the Sammy Cam. Well, he's hiding in the corner. You can't see him on the Sammy Cam. Sammy Cam, of course, available live every day at majority.fm. We have now opened it up during the entire show with audio. Enjoy, folks. Enjoy it. You got a guest suggestion for us? Email us at majorityreporters@gmail.com, majorityreporters@gmail.com. And, of course, you can IM me after the show at majority.majorityfm, Cedar MVS, Sam Cedar Show, any one of the number of the multitude of IM handles I have used in the past. And, of course, we desperately need your memberships. Well, I desperately need is a slight overstatement. It depends on how many of you actually heed the call as to how desperate we are. But we need to grow this thing fast and quickly. We are a lean machine, and we're not looking to become a fat machine. We're just looking to become a machine that doesn't eat away at its own sinew. And so your membership makes that possible. Our sponsors, JustCoffee.coop, they sponsor, they help out. They keep us fueled up. They send us coffee. They're a great company. Fair trade coffee. You can see exactly where your dollars go on from every bag. And, of course, they also have chocolate and tea. I'm not a tea drinker. I am a coffee drinker, and if you put majority into the coupon code, you get a 10% discount. What could be better, folks? I know you're going out there. You're spending an enormous amount on coffee right now, and I know that most of you are drinking mediocre coffee. So for gosh sakes, go buy some good coffee. Do us all a favor. Do your family and friends a favor. Buy them some coffee. We've got a great show today. The new Congress is starting tomorrow, and boy, it's going to be a fun one, folks. We're going to be fighting a forefront battle here, but you know we're not alone. I mean, here's the as much as bad news as I bring you, seemingly on a daily basis on this program. Of Republican malfeasance, of Republican obstruction. I mean, I don't know what's worse, their obstruction or their actual carrying out of their agenda. Both are bad. And whether or not we're talking about the corporatization of the Democratic Party, the unwillingness or incapacity of the Obama administration to fight for an agenda that benefits the middle class, yes, at the expense of the wealthiest amongst us. It's not that big of an expense. But now, you as an audience, you may be somewhat exclusive in the sense that you have a greater depth of understanding of politics, not the least of which because you listen to this program. I mean, frankly, I think at one point, and we may be close to that, we may be start turning people away. I don't believe in a in any type of like poll tax, but maybe we should. Yeah, maybe because I don't want to have to dumb down the show, frankly, because we need to build certain numbers. I'm just not interested in doing that. I mean, I know that we have, I know a lot of the people who listen to this program are out there writing and talking on television. And frankly, I'm much happier influencing the influencers than I would be having a wider show, because we have a 15-minute segment dedicated to Justin Bieber or whatever it is. I mean, I'm not, let's put it this way, I'm not as plugged in as, say, like, you know, like they are on CNN. I'm not providing the enormous quality of in-depth analysis of our news like they are in CNN. I mean, I imagine they're going to cover the poll that I'm talking about, which is proof positive that while you folks may be somewhat elite and exclusive in your understanding of politics, at the end of the day, your agenda is no different than the vast majority of Americans who want to see us tax the rich. I'll get to that poll in a second. But my point being, we just don't have the capacity to do the type of in-depth reporting and the smart, intelligent work they're doing in places like CNN, for instance. You know, yesterday I mentioned this story about the couple of thousand birds that fell from the sky in Beebe, Arkansas. And the wildlife officials there, they are working under the assumption there was some type of traumatic event like upper altitude hail or a thunderstorm. And then there was a report that there were thousands of dead fish in another part of Arkansas, which it looks more like some type of poisoning. And I guess I just do not have the analytical skills that one would need to be on broadcast, I should say, cablecast, mainstream television. We don't have the capacity here to do the type of analysis and news reporting that they have there. We simply don't. And case in point, this story which I mentioned, I reported on yesterday, but I didn't put two and two together. No, for that, you need CNN. Roll tape, please.
It's really terrible. As if the Arkansas bird drop weren't freakish enough, it came on the heels of a massive fish kill 125 miles away. Tens of thousands of dead fish washed up on the shores of the Arkansas River near Ozark last Thursday. While wildlife experts say the two events are almost certainly unrelated, it's certainly an odd coincidence. The internet, of course, is now buzzing with other theories. Some people even saying this is
stop it there. Now, of course, there experts are saying they're almost certainly unrelated. Slow news day. What can we do? Let's go on the internet and see what we can find.
Some people even saying this is these math deaths are a sign that the end times are near. Some have cited the Left Behind series of books. So we thought we'd talk to actor Kirk Cameron. He's a born-again Christian. He's written a lot about his faith. He also starred in the Left Behind series of films. I spoke to him earlier. Kirk, there's a lot of chatter out there on the internet about these thousands of birds and fish dying. Some people saying this is a sign of the end of days. You obviously starred in a series of films sort of based on the idea of the Left Behind series. When you hear that, what do you think?
Well, I first think that they ought to call a veterinarian, not me. You know, I'm not the religious conspiracy theorist go-to guy particularly. But I think it's really kind of silly to try to equate birds falling out of the sky with some kind of an end times theory.
Hey, what happened?
Yeah, hey, what happened? Do you know that there is probably nothing more embarrassing than being on national television and having Kirk Cameron, the man who starred in a YouTube video showing us a banana as proof that evolution doesn't exist, tell you that it's pretty silly to have me on your program to discuss this? My God. And I love how Anderson Cooper had to leapfrog. Well, most experts agree this has not even related. However, we went to the internet. On the internet, there's some people who are crazy, and crazy people mentioned Kirk Cameron, so here he is. And then Kirk Cameron, when Kirk Cameron is the voice of reason, folks, When Kirk Cameron is telling mainstream media, hey, look, you know, I got to say, you're really pushing it here. But let me show you this banana as proof that there's no evolution. What an embarrassment. Man. Wow. Got to hand it to CNN. We'll get there, folks. We will get there. Become a Majority Report member, and we will try and bring you that caliber of in-depth reporting. We'll do our best. So on to this poll. Most Americans say tax the rich to what? To balance the budget. You understand how disconnected our politicians have become from the American public now? Where the Republicans are involved in all sorts of BS, coming out with these new cut-go rules, which say that the only thing that we can do that will increase the budget, the deficit, is cut taxes. Anything else, we can cut taxes, even though that increases the budget, even though that's apocalyptic. We can't do anything else. Except if it's also repeal health care reform, which would also increase the budget. So there's two things that we can do. The worst thing that we can have is a growing budget deficit unless we're cutting taxes or unless we're killing health care reform, which would also increase the deficit. You see what the principle is there, right? The principle is that Republicans are full of bullshit. That's the principle. We're full of bullshit. Whatever we can do that is measures up appropriately to that standard, we will do. And then you have the Democrats, or at least the Obama administration, beginning to position the American public for austerity, beginning to position the American public for cuts in retirement insurance, basically saying to middle class and poor people, look, we know you're not living much longer at all. We know that your chances of being out of work at age 55 are extremely high. We know that your chances of ever finding employment again are very low. We know that you're working jobs that make it very difficult to go past the age of 62 or 65. Well, sorry. We're going to cut Social Security, even though it has nothing to do with the deficit, so that we can continue to cut taxes for millionaires. And according to a 60 Minutes Vanity Fair poll released on Monday, 61% of Americans polled would rather see taxes for the wealthy increased as a first step to tackling the deficit. So while the audience of this program may be relatively small to those who are watching Kirk Cameron on CNN, your perspective on what should be done is completely in line with the majority of Americans. The next most popular way, chosen by 20%, was to cut defense spending, which is also a smart idea. So we have 81% of the people who want to do something other than cut Social Security. In fact, only 3% would cut Social Security. Only 3%. I gotta think that amongst the 97% of the American public, there's some Tea Partiers and some Republicans in there too. So it's nice to know that at the very least, our leaders in Washington are ignoring the entire country as they prepare to cut Social Security benefits. Only 4% would cut Medicare. That's a government-run, an entirely government-run, single-payer health care system. Only 4% of Americans would start by cutting Medicare. And then things start getting a little bit hinky. Which part of the world would you fix first? The largest proportion of respondents said 36%, Washington. Well, I don't think they're talking literally fix Washington, D.C., although that's probably a good idea. Statehood might help, some type of proper representation. But I think what they're talking about is they're saying to our elected leaders, you seem to be running on an agenda, you seem to be running with an agenda that is completely divorced from the reality of the American public. One that is completely fueled by corporate America. By corporate and financial interests that outweigh those of the average American. And by average American, I'm talking about 90% of the American population. I'm not talking about some corn-fed guy sitting in the middle of the country who says he doesn't like gays and wants to... is afraid that Obama's coming from his gun. I'm talking about 90% of the American public. And the one thing that they all share, aside from their different religious values, their different moral values, their different social perspectives, is that they're all victims of a theft of their money upwardly distributed to the wealthiest 10% of this country. Period. That's the one thing that we all share at this point. Twenty-three percent would fix the Middle East. 14% would choose Haiti. That's actually quite impressive. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with our 3 minute, is it 3 minute? 3 minute and 23 seconds. That's the longest I've allowed myself for our news bite, our quickie news segment. We'll be right back in just a moment. With that, this is the Majority Report. I'm Sam Sid. Folks, we're back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. And now it is time for our, I don't know, is this gaining popularity? Is this famous yet?
It's trending a little bit.
It's trending in our intra-office Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, there are actually devices like that. I've seen there are like inter-office Twitters.
That would be the least useful thing here that I could possibly imagine.
Yes, that would be pretty close, unless we had a big board. That's what we just. There are some days we just don't want to talk to each other. All right, let's crank this up and GOP rules exempt the cost of repealing health care. Mentioned that already. House Republicans rules for the 112th Congress exempt all sort of tax cuts from any requirement that deficit impact be offset. But, like I said, the Health Care and Education Affordability Reconciliation Act of 2010, even though that will, repealing that would increase the deficit, Republicans are going to allow that to happen because they actually have no principles. The Senate rules reform delayed attempts to reform the filibuster will be delayed possibly as late as January 24th. We don't expect them to vote on this Wednesday or Thursday, said... Shane Larson, a legislative director of the Communications Worker of America. He's working on this repeal. They will not adjourn the recess. They will recess. So when they return on the 24th, it will still technically be the first day of the legislative session when they must take care of this. I mentioned that yesterday. Floor debate on repeal of health care will begin on January 12th, according to Roll Call. The Interior Department will allow 13 companies to resume deep water drilling without any additional environmental scrutiny. This is just months after saying the Obama administration saying it would require strict reviews for new drilling. The government said it was not breaking its promise to require environmental reviews because 13 companies, which include Chevron and Shell Offshore Inc., had already started drilling the wells without detailed environmental studies. I'm sure if those blow up, I'm sure they'll plug themselves naturally because they were already in progress and not new new deep water drilling. So we have nothing to worry about there. The fish go along with this. They've agreed with it. We will not get poisoned, and we will not destroy the coast if these go because they were not new. They were grandfathered in. Meanwhile, Boston Globe reports that business aviation is on the rise around the country with number of trips about up 10% last year. Business travel on commercial airlines also increasing. Business class spending up 60% in the third quarter. So you should be happy, even though you don't have a job, even though your pension's being destroyed, your Social Security's going to be cut. Businesses are doing just fine, ladies and gentlemen. And Wall Street hit a two-year high yesterday. Congratulations to you who are extremely rich. Congratulations on your capital gains cut. Taxes not going up. Republicans may starve U.S. financial reform of cash. Both the Commodities Fund Trading Commission and the Securities Exchange Commission may see their funding cut to prevent any new financial regulations from actually taking effect and doing something to protect you chumps who are not inside traders. And Obama said considering naming J.P. Morgan Daly to the top White House post. This is William Daly, J.P. Morgan & Chase Company executive, former U.S. Commerce Secretary, NAFTA champion, Rahm Emanuel mentor, and oh, thank you. The people who go see symphonies are very happy because, of course, he's so corporate and financially friendly because we haven't done enough for corporations. And thus ends. Apparently, that's actually not 323. It is actually closer to 325. Oh. Well, just I just wanted to prove to you folks that I actually I don't just have one classical song on my iTunes. I have two. So that's the news in brief. Oh, that was pretty good. That's a lot of information there.
Yeah, that was without practicing too.
Huh?
That was without practicing. We just went straight through it.
Maybe that could be a YouTube, Dorsey. What do you think?
Sounds good.
I don't know.
A daily YouTube.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. The attacks on your wages, your future, continue. Not only have we been talking about the attacks on public employee unions, now the New York Times reports that Republican lawmakers in Indiana, Maine, Missouri, seven other states plan to introduce legislation that would bar private sector unions from forcing workers they represent to pay dues or fees, essentially attacking private sector unions, creating a, what do they call that, right-to-work state. It's basically an attack on unions. Because, look, the bottom line is private unions, public unions, we're down to, I think, 8% private unions in the workforce now, down from 32% back in the heyday when the middle class had job security and we only needed one worker in the family to provide for children, and more people were going to college, and all those horrible times that Paul Krugman refers to as the Great Compression, when you saw income inequality shrink, when you saw a stable middle class, a secure, a financially stable and secure middle class. And the attack on unions continue. Now understand that destroying private unions is not going to help states meet their revenue to cover their budgets. It's not going to do anything. Supposedly, it will make their states more attractive for business. Of course, once the majority of states do this, they no longer have a competitive edge, and all it does is just keeps driving down the wages. You know, look, we could make New York State incredibly attractive to businesses. if we could pass a law that says you cannot pay workers more than $5 a day. Every business in the entire country would move to New York. Maybe if we just said you can't pay your workers more than, you know, $40 a day. No overtime rules. 12-year-olds can work. We would be the most attractive business-friendly state in all of the union. The whole point here is to create a middle class where there is some sense of security. There's some sense that my children will not do worse than I will do. And this is simply not the agenda of the financial elite in this country. It simply is not. Do they care? They don't have an agenda. Let's make middle-class people insecure. Although, with that said, I would be remiss in not stating that Alan Greenspan, back when he was chair of the Fed, said that part of his job was to make sure that we don't get to full employment so that there remains some measure of employment insecurity as a way of keeping wages lower. But that aside, it's just that finance, industry, society, it is in some level a zero-sum game. At one point, you cannot just keep increasing the pie. The pie just does not keep getting larger and larger and larger and larger and larger and larger and larger at a pace. You know, there's stop and starts. But it doesn't seem to be stop and starts in terms of the size of the pie. I mean, in terms of the size of corporate profits. So in other words, there are times when the rest of us lose and lose big. And one of those times is the last 30 years where wages have been basically stagnant. And we've covered it up with a lot of borrowing and a lot of bubbles. The notion that we were rich because our houses were suddenly all, we were all living million-dollar mansions. So some new governors, notably Scott Walker of Wisconsin, are even threatening to take away government workers' rights to form unions and bargain contracts. We can no longer live in a society where the public employees are the haves and the taxpayers who foot the bills are the have-nots. Think about that for a minute. Think about, A, the genius of creating government workers are the haves, And private sector are the have-nots. Show me the line, the connection between government workers not being able to unionize. Remember, every study that has come out shows that government workers get no more pay, pensions and benefits included, than their private workers with a comparable education. So the plan here is to take the so-called haves and turn them into have-nots too, further diminishing the bargaining power of the have-nots in the private sector who are not unionized. This is the Republican agenda. And they very intelligently use the vernacular of populism to protect the wealthy corporate financial elite in this country. The fact of the matter is, if we are redistributing money upwards via our tax code, people who make billions of dollars, millions of dollars, from the same infrastructure, from the same parameters, from the same organizational structures of our society that 90% of the American public doesn't make such money from, They're getting away with paying less than their fare of taxes, and they're taking it essentially from things like Social Security. Because they still want to pay for these government services, whether they are roads, whether they are telecommunications, whether they are things like copyright, whether they are things about like enforcing contracts. Medical malpractice, that's tying up our courts. But all the transactions, all the protecting of their intellectual property rights, all of the patents, all of these things which allow them to make millions and billions of dollars, all provided for by government. All of these things. You have a right to property rights. You have property rights. The Constitution doesn't say anything about the government having to have a police force there. Now, this is relevant because, you know, they're reading the Constitution now, right? This is what the Tea Partiers do, reading the Constitution in the Congress. Anton Scalia saying the 14th Amendment doesn't say anything about protecting the rights of women. I'll get to that story in a minute. But, I mean, you understand, like, their whole worldview here is to pretend that somehow there's a free market, to pretend that somehow the government that we have doesn't provide benefit for the rich. All it does is it takes their money. See how long your property rights are right without a police force, without fire departments, even, frankly, without teachers. I guess I had news for you. You don't want to educate the people in this country? Good luck with your property rights. I hope you can build a huge wall around your mansion. You can maybe, when you're building that wall to keep the illegals out, you should build it around your house, too. And you should build that school that you want to teach your kids on the grounds of your huge mansion. And once you move 1 foot down that road, and in some way constructing society to maintain the stability that you need to keep your wealth, understand there is no more free market. Understand that. There is no non-government intervention. And after that, all you're doing is choosing arbitrarily, maybe based upon what you already own, what you were gifted by birth, by the luck of being born white, by the luck of being born in a certain city, by the luck of being born to certain wealth, whatever it is. Understand all you're doing is arbitrarily choosing where to draw the line in a way that benefits yourself. Period. That applies to every single libertarian argument ever made. They will bend over backwards to try and justify whatever it is that they want to justify. Wherever they draw the line, you can never find two libertarians who will agree on these, any of the specifics, because it's all a function of just what they want. Great story coming out of the snowstorms. I talked about it on Olbermann when I filled in on Countdown. Did you know that they sold off Britain, sold off Gatwick and Heathrow, and their train system? They privatized it. They've already had to buy back Gatwick. Heathrow is a complete mess, and they bought back the train system. Why? Because privatization, job number one is profits, period. So where should we? Should we sell off the? Should we sell off our airports? The reason why the streets weren't plowed is because there has been more and more reliance on private contractors. And I got news for you. private contractors, you can't put them on hold without paying them. I mean, this is the exact same dynamic that happened in Katrina. When you privatize shit, private companies, job number one is profits. So when you call and you say, we may need buses to take people out of New Orleans, the bus company that you've called that subcontracts down the line, they're not going to put those buses on hold because that costs money. They're going to wait to the very last minute they can, even if it's a little bit too late, because they're far worse off losing money than just making a little bit less than they thought. And that's exactly what happened with the snowplows. There's no margin for error there. They made the wrong call as to how big the storm was going to be, or whether they would not, they would need people, or they were maybe a little skimpy because Bloomberg wants to be able to maintain certain cuts. And by the time they called, guess what happened to all those private contractors? They found other jobs. Is there waste in having too many guys available to plow the streets? Yes. Until you need the streets plowed. That's just the way it goes. And then all of a sudden, boo-hoo, I can't run my business. Even though taxes are too high. Well, that's just the price of doing business, folks. Is there corruption? Yeah. Is there incompetence? Yes. Show me an entity in private business where you can't say the same things about that. Show me the entity, short of the majority report. It's the only private entity I know that operates with no waste, total competence. John Kasich, Republican of Ohio, proposing to take away the right of 14,000 state-financed child care and home care workers to unionize. Yeah, you don't want those people. You don't want those people to get a minimum, have a basement on their negotiating ability. You don't want them to have any pensions. Of course. F them. He wants to ban strikes by teachers, much the way states bar strikes by the police and firefighters. What? No government intervention there, right, folks? No government intervention there. Free market. He wants to eliminate the requirement that state pay union-scale wages to construction workers on public contracts, even if the contractors are non-union. See, the game here is a race to the bottom. It is a complete race to the bottom. And here's the one story you won't hear throughout this entire thing about states strained. States are strained, so they're trying to destroy unions. And the idea being that we're being told by the media elite in this country, by the financial elite, by the wealthy, by the corporate-owned senators, and that the problem is unions. The problem is pay, is wages. Except the one story you don't hear about is in Texas.
Hey, what happened?
That's right. Texas. The state that couldn't be more union hostile. The state that couldn't be more pro-business. Lean spending. Texas.
Don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining.
That's right. Don't you mess with Texas. But it turns out that they have a $25 billion deficit on a two-year budget of around $95 million. Let me do some calculations. That's nearly one-fourth. In fact, it's greater than one-fourth. Wow. Their whole budget is basically education and healthcare spending. That's going to be the interesting state to watch. Maybe I should head back there and straighten things up a little bit. Get my daddy to float the state alone. Something like that. Thank God I got Texas to pay for that Texas State Ranger, Texas Rangers Stadium. I put that money right into my pocket. Sold that baby. Thank you. God bless America. Free market. In other words, I got that money for free. And meanwhile, continuing their attack on all of us, Daryl Issa, do you remember Daryl Issa was the guy who was behind the referendum? You must know this, Dorsey, right?
California guy.
He was the guy who basically funded the referendum to get
Gray Davis
out of office, because Gray Davis was so bad with money. How'd that work out for you, California?
So bad.
How many people in California going like, you know what? If only we had elected Gary Coleman, we'd be in the exact same spot, but it would be just that much more interesting.
And you know, people make fun of San Francisco. I think it was 89% of that county, which is basically the city, voted for anybody but Schwarzenegger.
Well, you know, the bottom line is there was no one who was going to help out that situation. And, you know, Gray Davis got screwed as much by Enron as anything else.
Yeah.
And we all remember that meeting with Kenny Boy Leigh and Arnold Schwarzenegger at the Peninsula Hotel back in the day. You just play the role of the guy who's happy to be in America and having seen, what is it that he said? Like, I remember when Nixon, he lied about like Nixon was his hero. Some just fucking bullshit. So Daryl Issa, who cried when he was told to drop out of the race. You remember that? I'm not crying because I spent all that money. I know we've got to run against Gary Davis. I'm crying because I'm so happy that America gives the opportunity to someone like Schwarzenegger. Where a millionaire can actually run for office. It's Daryl Issa. Unbelievable. He wants the oil industry, drug manufacturers, and other trade groups and companies to tell him which Obama administration regulations to target this year. Because ostensibly, the reason why we're not having economic growth is because of the regulatory structure is preventing all these companies from innovating and making so much money. They're sitting on trillions of dollars, ladies and gentlemen. Trillions. $2 trillion. They're not spending. Is it because wages are too high? No. They're going to absorb, incidentally, that 2% Social Security tax holiday. You're already seeing reports of, human resource companies saying, hey, you know, remember that 1% cost of living increase that we were going to give you? Well, it turns out we don't need to give it to you now because you're going to see it in your paycheck. Courtesy of rich people getting their tax cuts and you losing your Social Security benefits. Well, riddle me this, ladies and gentlemen. Do you think there's more or less industry regulation after 10 years of Bush, 8 years of the Bush administration and trying to rebuild the regulatory structure, than there was during the Clinton administration? I'll give you a minute to think about that. The question once again, is there more regulation today as opposed to then? If you guessed that there's less regulation today, yeah, I think you'd be right. But that's what's preventing people. No, this is just simply more. How can we screw over consumers and workers to the benefit of corporations? And I'm putting that incorrectly. I mean, it really is just how can we help corporations maximize profit at the cost of consumers and workers, period. And generally poor people. James Galbraith, who I want to get on this program desperately, and he said he would come traveling around, but I think soon, actually. He makes the case in foreignpolicy.com that the most dangerous conventional wisdom in the world today, and I brought this up with Robert Reich on Oberman, and frankly, I'm not convinced that it isn't the first time that the words, shouldn't we lower the age of retirement, were mentioned on cable television. The most dangerous conventional wisdom in the world today is the idea that with an older population, people must work longer and retire with less. The idea has been used to rationalize cuts in old age benefits in numerous advanced countries, most recently in France and soon in the United States. The cuts are disguised as increases in the minimum retirement age or increases in the age in which full pensions will be paid. He says, in the first place, we are not living longer. Wealthy elderly are. The non-wealthy, not so much. Raising the retirement age cuts benefits for those who can't wait to retire and often won't live long. Second, many workers retire because they can't find jobs. They're unemployed. This is all stuff I've been harping on for a long time. Third, we don't need the workers. Productivity gains and cheap imports mean that we can and do enjoy far more farm and factory goods than our forebears with much less effort. Our problem is finding worthwhile work for people to do, not finding workers to produce the goods we consume. The financial crisis has left us with 11 million fewer jobs. No matter how aggressive the policy, we're not going to find 11 million new jobs soon. Common sense suggests we should make some decisions about who should get the first crack. Older people who have already worked three or four decades at hard jobs, or younger people, many out of school with fresh skills and ambitions. The right step is to reduce, not increase, the full benefits retirement age. Why not enact a three-year window during which the age for receiving full Social Security benefits would drop to 62, providing a voluntary one-time grab-it-now bonus for people leaving work? You know, I got news for you. That's what businesses do. We'll give you an early retirement package. It'll save us money in the long run. It'll get younger workers into our workforce. This is the policy we would have if we did not have a government-owned and bought for, paid for, and bought by big money, by industry, whatever you want to call it. That's the program we would have, period. If there was any honesty in our media, in our wealthy financial elite, in our rulers, that would be the proposal that's being discussed right now. Every wonk out there would be writing reports on how this is exactly what we need to do. But you do not hear it. You do not hear it because you will be branded some type of socialist communist. You'll be left out of the party circuit. You won't be invited back onto television programs. That's the bottom line. That guy's a nut job. Here's another example of how we have our free market operates. Our free market. From the Center for the Study of Public Domain. Current U.S. law extends copyright protections for 70 years from the date of the author's death. Okay? Corporate works for hire. Now, wait a second. What's the theory behind that, Dorsey?
Behind the public domain?
Well, what's the idea that why do you need 70 years from the date of the author's death?
So that his estate can kind of reap the benefits of at least a little bit, I guess. I don't know.
And maybe they can protect his works, right?
Yeah.
And it's about keeping in the family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if that's the case, then why are works for hire, where an estate and the author has no rights in the material?
Because all corporations are just big happy families.
Are copyrighted for 95 years. Do you think that copyright protections for authors and their estates are are protected for 70 years just to justify why corporations can get it for 95 years. I think we call that the Disney rule. And this is prior to the 1976 Copyright Act. You know, the more you read things like that Hacker book and that Pearson book, Tom Hartman writes about this. You see in the 70s, as a response to the amount of political power the middle class and the success of the middle class was gaining, the security, and which follows after you have economic security, you immediately start to take more political power. That's at the bottom line. Right? I mean, I got news for you. If we get enough members with this program, I shouldn't say this publicly because there may be people listening. Hypothetically speaking, if one was to have, well, let's put it this way. You know, if you look at, if you watch Cenk on the Young Turks, and you watch him when he goes on to MSNBC, there's not much daylight there. You know, there's not much daylight. Now, Cenk has a specific style that is suited for particularly the daytime shows and for Ed's show, you know, as opposed to maybe like Oldman's show, which is much more sort of like, it's narrow in terms of like stylistically. But in terms of topics, you know, Cenk is rather bold on his on those shows. Now, part of it is because he's been doing it for a while. Part of it's also because he knows that no matter what happens at MSNBC, he's got this. He is wildly financially successful with the Young Turks. That thing is wildly successful, and you know the. You look at people like Glenn Greenwald. There's a reason why Glenn Greenwald is the most outspoken and will attack anyone based upon principle. Nothing else. He'll go after Wired because of what they did with the WikiLeaks thing. He'll go after anybody, and I got news for you. I've been on these email lists with a lot of like the establishment media, left, right, doesn't matter. They hate him, and they're terrified of him. And there's one reason, because he is untouchable to them. Because he does not, he has his own platform. He does not rely on them. He doesn't give a shit about from a career standpoint. He doesn't obviously have the financial restrictions. He's selling books. And that terrifies them. There's no way to rein this guy in. And he's too impeccable in the way that he writes to be attacked on those grounds. So it's always, he's out of control. I mean, I can't tell you how many email dispatches I've read over the past couple of years that are like, well, I sort of agree with what Greenwald said, but he's saying it in such a meh way that blah, blah. Anyways, so you've had 30 some odd, 40 years now of corporations just controlling everything, slowly, bit by bit. Controlling the, you know, I guess my point there was that the middle class in the 60s, the reason why you saw such political empowerment was because the middle class felt financially secure enough that they went after political power. Where the idea of, like, if I get arrested because I'm protesting the war, if I get arrested because I'm protesting the fact that black people don't get rights, I'm talking about, you know, sort of the, you know, black people did not have the same opportunities that white people did at that time. They didn't have any rights till the mid-60s. People were not as afraid to get arrested. I mean, now can you, like, a 21-year-old coming out of college, I'm going to get arrested? Are you kidding? It's hard enough to get a job. I need that black mark on my resume? So in 1976 Copyright Act, which became effective in 1978, the maximum copyright term was 56 years, which was an initial term of 28 years, renewable for another 28 years. Under those laws, works published in 1954 would be passing into the public domain now, the old laws, They were renewed twice from once. But now it's 70 years from the date of the author's death, and then 95 if they've been corporate work for hire. What might you have been able to read online or in print, quote from as much as you want, translate, republish, or make a play or movie from? Lord of the Flies. That would be helpful. Under current copyright law, we'll have to wait until 2050. Wow. Because the copyright term for works published between 1950 and 63 was extended to 95 years from the date of publication. Why? I don't know. Oh, no, that's not what I meant. That's what I meant. Now, this is all because it's a free market, right? It's a free market. Because we all know that when the framers of the Constitution were sitting down and they said property rights, they were talking about ideas. They were talking about genes, too. They were talking about genes. They were talking about chromosomes. They were talking about molecular structure. Right. That's exactly what they were talking about. Another cable came out showing that the United States, WikiLeaks cable, the United States pressuring European countries to accept genetically modified products, like harshly trying to start trade wars with them, conspiring with with Monsanto to force genetic modified products to be accepted in Europe. What? Free market? What? That's a twofer. Can anyone show me in the Federalist Papers where anyone contemplated the idea of commodifying genes, chromosomes, commodifying the very blueprint for how plants grow? Where's the libertarians who are crying about that? Where are the conservatives who are crying about that? Can anyone tell me why these free marketers, these people who want to cut government, if we have time for our State Department to be working on behalf of Monsanto, how many jobs are created by Monsanto in this country? How many do you think? I don't know. I hope it's hundreds of thousands to justify having our State Department work on their behalf. How much of their revenue is kept offshore and never see Treasury coffers? My guess would be somewhere around all of it. You know, I mean, the bottom line, all the stories about today, that we're just getting screwed, and it transcends some notion of party politics. The 61% of Americans who think the first thing that should be done is to tax the rich in this country, added with the other 20% who think the first thing should be done is to cut defense. And I imagine if you look at number ones and twos, you know, the 60% who say tax the rich, or that 20% who say cut the defense spending, I bet you tax the rich is pretty high on their list of things to do to cut the deficit, too. I'll tell you something. If I am this financial elite in this country, I don't know how long it's going to be. It's going to be less than a period of time for their copyrights. But I'd be a little concerned. I'd be a little concerned about the stability of a society that's getting reamed in all these different ways. We have run out of time. I'm going to have to continue this tomorrow. I've got a bunch of WikiLeaks stories. I may have to have one day dedicated to WikiLeaks. Maybe that seems actually legitimate. I mean, there's so many news stories in there. And I believe, remember I mentioned to you earlier this week, I'm going to be starting on Ring of Fire. this weekend. You can find out if you can listen in your local area on ringoffireradio.com. You can stream it live on ringoffireradio.com. I'm hoping to talk to Glenn Greenwald to catch up on the WikiLeaks story. Maybe I'll run part of that. I don't know. I got to talk to him, see if I can do that occasionally. And I'm talking to them about maybe there's a discount for their podcast if you're already a majority reporter. We're going to try and work out a 10% discount. Maybe some type of bonus swag. Who knows? All right, stick around, folks. I'll take your IMs on the other side of the post-show. So this is where we're at. This show will always, live, will be available at least into the midterm, as far as our eyes can see. Will be available to you, but very shortly, probably within a month or so. Only the first hour or 50 minutes of this program will be available podcast, so become a member now. Majority.fm. Please. All right, folks. See you on the other side. Take your IMs. Take your IMs. You can IM me at Majority FM. Not a lot of IMers today. Are we definitely broadcasting?
Yeah.
Have I signed up for all my IMs there? Yeah, they all seem to be there. What happens if I switch this? Nothing. Okay. Well, you can IM me at Majority FM. You don't have to if you don't want to. This could be a very short post-show. Don't be a putz. Next time at Christmas, when Mila says she doesn't want to be Jewish, tell her that's how all Jews feel. In fact, congratulate her and tell her it means that she really is Jewish. That's a good point. Well, I did tell her. I said, yeah, that's not a surprising reaction. Mila is so... Yeah, I can tell the story. Nikki's not listening. Nikki is obsessed with Mila's Banks. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of that really tiny bang look. But, you know, I keep my mouth shut. I mean, there's just absolutely no place for me to express that opinion in the house around either one of them. And, like, Nikki's so obsessed with her bangs. Her bangs are growing longer. She almost had basically no bangs. And her hair would get in her face. Mila didn't care. Like, you know, Nikki would put, like, a barrette in her hair to keep it out of it. And then, you know, by the time she'd get back from school, the barrette's gone. Because Mila's a very active kid. She's very athletic. And so Nikki's constantly pressuring her. Would you cut your bangs? Would you cut your bangs? And I'm just like... You know, like I occasionally will drum up the courage to say, why so? What's with the bangs? And she says it makes me feel like a bad mother because her hair is in her eye. And I'm like, but if it's not bothering her, then what? And so apparently, when they were in Michigan, he's like, you got your bangs. And finally, Maya said, okay, I'll cut my bangs. And Mila goes into the bathroom, and I haven't gotten the whole story because I think Nikki's afraid to tell me because it might sound like something I would call social services for. But I think Mila got into the bathroom and then was like, I don't want to cut my bangs. And Nikki's like, you got to. You said you were going to. You should. and like maybe Mila started. Anyways, Nikki cut her bangs, and I don't know if Mila's hair was wet, but cut them way too short.
Oh, no.
Like, there's no bangs. She looks like a Hasid. Like, you know how, like, the Hasid kids will get the crew cut, and then they'll have the long payas? And so Nikki took Mila to, like, a hairdresser to try and fix it, but you can't. This is the thing. You can't grow hair at a haircut place. You can only cut it more. So Mila, and she was really upset. Mila was crying. You know, she was really upset. But she's back now. She's worried about going to school. And I'm telling you, we do not see anybody without them saying, what happened to your bangs? Like, to the point, like, where, like, we have to stand behind Mila whenever we see anybody new and just go, like, no, don't say anything. And so Mila, first day of school yesterday, and, you know, she's a free spirit. And so she doesn't, you know, I think it attracts, you know, kids always get in the fight, you know, like, so she's, you know, sort of like on her heels a little bit at school. And she walks into the bathroom, and she's got like a hairband, but not like a thin one, a thick hairband, you know, like sort of like that 60s style type of thing. Uh-huh. And she fashions it right in front of her forehead, like you would, like it looks like a some type of sci-fi thing. Like, she's just putting the band there. She's not holding any hair. It's just blocking where her bangs are. And it looks like she has her hair back. And I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, I'm covering my bangs. And she goes to school like that now.
Wow.
And, you know, she's completely, the kid's so well adjusted. Like, I definitely think it's possible. I mean, if I wasn't, you know, we made a big, you know, with all the different birthing classes we went to, the one thing we learned is that you can always hold your child. Like, after, the hospitals have certain procedures. But what they do is they take the kid to get weighed. And because, you know, nurses are running around, they got a bunch of things to do. They leave the kid sometimes on the scale. They leave the kid without anybody holding it. And then the body temperature goes down. And then they put them in the incubators, essentially, to keep the body temperature up. But you can say, like, I'm holding my child. I'll put him down on the scale, but then I'm holding him for the rest of it. Keep him warm, and then, you know, stay with him the whole time. And if it weren't for the fact that I had basically held Mila throughout the whole process, I'd be convinced she wasn't our kid. I mean, she looks a lot like Nikki, too, but just dispositionally, she's just far too well adjusted. Don't pay pots. Did you know Obama's new estate tax deal pushes the lifetime tax-free gift amount from $2 million to $10 million over and above $26,000 a year you can also give? What? Well, right. Wait a second. The $10 million a couple, that was the estate tax deal. Right, it was 45% over $10 million for a couple, $5 million per person. Plus, it extends a loophole known as the Walton Grat that allows Richies to set up trusts for the relatives now and pay 2010 rates, i.e., zero. Wow, that doesn't surprise me. Shanksoft, Disney related copyright law. I think you will find that 1976 rule was a function of Disney lobbying. Mickey Mouse. That's why I called it Disney related. Monkey Jeeves's. Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, thank you. Optimal Tomato. Can you expand on the UK privatization of Gatwick and Heathrow you mentioned earlier? Or point? I think the Daily Beast had a story on it recently. In fact, check like Daily Beast like on the 26th or something like that, I think it is. And Google it. You'll find stuff. Rusty Cole, is Ring of Fire a good gig for you, enough to keep you going with Majority FM? It definitely helps. It definitely helps. But, you know, it's a weekend show. I'm hoping, you know, to stitch together a couple of things that will take us through the leaner times here. And we'll have a better sense soon. So, but it definitely, does it help? Yes. On a number of levels. I mean, aside from also, I mean, honestly, if there was one show that I could contemplate joining, I mean, I think I guest hosted on Ring of Fire as much as I guest hosted on anything, but with Pap and Bobby at different times. So if there's one show that I would do and actually like want to do, it would be that show. So it's good in many different ways. Harold, how was your New Year's? I missed yesterday's show, if you already said. Well, you can podcast it, Harold. Is Libsyn back up?
Yeah, it's back up. We had a server issue with the people who do our podcast yesterday. They had an issue in their system. So people who weren't able to download the podcast, they should still be able to, especially through iTunes. If not, drop us a line if you can't. However you subscribe, if you can't get Monday's show. But if you can't get it through whatever your subscription feed is, it's available for download on Majority FM. And today's show is not going to be a problem. It's going to be the same old.
Are we going to get a rebate for yesterday?
Yeah, all those millions of dollars that we lost.
Happy New Year from Ohio, where workers bend over to make businesses feel welcome. Cat food and. Yeah, Hal, my New Year's was okay. I didn't do much. Bixuni Lozang. Bixuni Lozang. Bixuni told me that Bixuni is a term to describe an ordained Buddhist nun, I believe. Love the Issa Crybaby impression. Remind me of Adam Sandler, opera singer and wedding singer. I don't have a specific explanation for it, but learning of Goldman Sachs fiddling with Facebook inspires me to close my Facebook pages. Same feeling of learning Steve Jobs partnering with Rupert Murdoch on phone apps. Steve Jobs partnering with Rupert Murdoch on phone apps?
Data, no.
iPad, I think, too. You know, the post they're having. They're going to have, like, the big iPad news app that's just going to kill the internet for everybody else or something. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, good reason to... Well, Facebook is so powerful, though. My friend Matthew said, the bangs are a landmine. Stay away. Do you get that problem, Matthew, with your significant other? With landmines, with bangs? But, dude, you saw Mila's... I was over at Matthew's house. He just stays away. Matthew's father has a good saying. Father is not a mother. Spayf, in regards to making it illegal for teachers to strike, we already have limits on strikes. As a custodian and classified employee, I'm not allowed to strike in support of teachers. I believe we should defy their rules. I would love to see teachers and classified walk together until they properly fund schools in Oregon. We just finished having an unpaid furlough a week at Christmas. On a lighter note, I cannot get through the week without giving a shout-out for the once-in-a-lifetime event for my alma mater, the University of Oregon Ducks, playing in the national championship. Well, congratulations. I do think that what we're going to need to see is some real, genuine labor strikes, labor movements, all of it. All of it. Harold says, go Ducks. Klugen, Portland. Bad Haircut Productions. That name's already taken by Click and Clack and Dewey, Cheatham and Howe. Oh, okay. Chesapeake. Have you seen the movie Gasland about hydrofracking? You should interview its director. It's an amazing movie. Okay.
Yeah, they've been all around upstate where my folks have
huge
yeah,
up there.
They've been playing that movie all around.
Will you Google that right now? Send me the link.
Yeah.
Put that on the list. Definitely want to speak to that guy. Todd Slater. Sam, 1978, the year the new copyright law took effect. Also, coincidentally, the 50th anniversary of the creation of Mickey Mouse. So, yeah, probably a Disney law. Yes. I'm pretty sure it was. And I remember reading something about it. Hi, Johnny. Hey, Sam. Hope your Patriots enjoy their bye week because they'll need it to survive the Ravens, assuming the Colts beat the Jets.
I don't think so.
Is it getting to be that time of the year?
Yeah.
Playoffs,
yep.
Football.
Yep.
One Undone Bird. Hi, Sam. Watched all of your appearances on Countdown. Sent me emails to the show telling him how great you are. Did you see Countdown showed a clip of you on a show last night? What? No.
Oh, yeah. Colbert did. I saw that. I was...
Colbert played a clip of me on a show? Which one?
It was about the snowpocalypse. Everybody was saying snowpocalypse, and you were one of them.
He's had me on twice now like that.
That's awesome.
I got Colbert making fun of me now.
See, Colbert would be excited about somebody including him in. You know, he would do one of those laps around his set.
Yeah. See, that's what I should do. You know what I needed? I needed a staff member who watches Colbert semi-professionally to tell me about it.
Yeah, I totally forgot.
It's okay. You can't run around that desk anyway.
We could follow you around the floor.
With the flip cam.
That'll be your victory lap.
Right. We could
You'll
do
knock
that.
Knock on everybody's door.
Don't know if you saw Colbert last night, but... Snow apocalypse. I literally, when I saw that, I was like, oh, do I have to say that? Also, is the Pilot Season song available for download? Yes, you can find it on iTunes. Dave Derby. Find it on iTunes.
Great song.
What's the latest with Don Siegelman's legal status? That's actually a good question.
Speaking of late night, though, did you see or hear about David Letterman talking to Brian Williams about John Bonair?
Did he say John Bonair?
Yeah. He didn't say Bonair, but he was talking about him. He said that he thinks that he cries like somebody who's on drugs and needs counseling to Brian Williams, who's supposed to interview him in a couple of days.
Oh, that's funny.
It was great. It was very uncomfortable, but funny at the same time.
You know, when I was at MSNBC, guess who... I'm taking a leak. Stall, I walk out. Guy comes in. Hey, how you doing? It makes a beeline right for the bathroom. And I do mean a beeline, as in Brian. It's always funny seeing famous people in the bathroom. Guy from Silent Hill. Happy New Year. Sam, what's your FUBAR co-writer Stephen Sherrill up to? That's an excellent question. First of all, why isn't Cheryl listening to this program right now? I can never figure out what Cheryl's doing. He's always writing for different people. He writes stuff for GQ. Not the value of the estate, don't be a putz. Rich people can also transfer their wealth by giving gifts. If you know a rich person, they have accounts where they deposit $26,000 every year for their kids. The new estate tax will now affect... 0.2%, the lowest since 1934. Well, yes, I know you can give $13,000. It used to be $10,000, but now I think it's $13,000 free of taxes to your kids. Or no, to anybody. You can give $13,000 under 30 without it being taxed. Rusty Cole, I got stuck in the middle of a discussion between my wife and another couple. The women were insisting it was better for a child to be asleep with the parents until they were 4 or 5. The husband and I were saying no because that would really interfere with some Humpty Dumpty private time. Do I have any advice? Yes, capitulate. My kid, Mila comes into our bedroom every night at like... Oh, that's what you could do. If we ever had some Humpty Dumpty time... If we ever had any inclination for Humpty Dumpty time, we would have the time. Mila comes into our room at like 2 in the morning every night. And it started I know when it started. Nikki doesn't remember any of this stuff, but I remember like we got to stop her from coming in. Well, she's sick. Well, we've been traveling. Well, blah, blah, blah. And then you can't get her out. You can't. I put her in a bunk bed in her room. And now all that happens is I got to go in at 2 in the morning. Dad.
Dad!
And I got to bring her into our room. And then I got to put a pillow between me and her. Because she kicks. She kicks. Don't be a putz. Which version of Beat Cops has Asif Manvi playing two roles? Well done, Don't Be a Putz. That is the original. I got to find the reshot version. Reshot version's okay. If people know, people can find that. It's online. I'm not going to tell you where, but you can find that Beat Cops. Nick Silver? I don't know what that means, Klug. I live in Maryland, says Chesapeake 88. I would have never guessed. I live in Maryland, and even I know the Patriots will crush the Ravens.
Isn't Nick Silver a comedian?
Maybe.
Or maybe I'm thinking Nick DeSilva. I don't even. I can't keep up with comedians.
You're thinking of Nick DiPaolo.
That's probably who I'm thinking
of. Who was also in... Oh, that's what it was. Nick DiPaolo is also in Beat Cops. Nick DiPaolo is sort of like this... Louis C.K. loves him. They've known each other for a long time. And I put Nick in the first Beat Cops. And he was pretty good. But he was telling me it was so funny. The guy's so racist. Tell him. He was like, we're walking. He said, so were you back from L.A.? Were you living there? He goes, forget about L.A. There's no way. Can't. This is, now, remember, this is 1998, 99, okay? So think about what's going on there. There's five networks all doing sitcoms, all doing half-hour sitcoms. It was, you can't, you couldn't, you literally couldn't pee without peeing on a sitcom. Yeah, there's no work out there for guys like me. What do you mean? They just won't hire white guys to do any sitcoms. What? What? I mean, what? It's insane. Drab Manthes, Scahill just tweeted, Judith Miller, Assange should not be punished or even faulted for trying to ferret out government secrets. Did Judith Miller say that, or he's saying that to Judith Miller? I think Judith Miller said Assange was a problem.
Yeah, wouldn't that be like a complete reversal?
Oh, okay. He should not be punished or even faulted for trying to ferret out government. That's what journalists do. Oh, yeah, this is Miller, you know, that's the way she brands herself, right? That makes sense. Mm. Sammy Camera 1. Daddy, can I sleep with you? Not with those bangs. Gulfstream 2. See if you can get Ring of Fire to redo their stations and times page. Maybe by day, then time. I took a leak next to Ted Turner once. Gravitune. Any progress with non-PayPal options? No, you got to give me some time. It's a big job. We got a bunch of different things backed up here. So... And let's see, I think that is it for us. One last one. Have you spoken to John Benjamin since you called him mid-show that one time? John Benjamin will not speak to me anymore. He will not speak to me. Maybe we'll call him one time on air just to harass him now that he's not talking to me. What's the downside? Have you talked to Les Leopold, who has just posted in our Wall Street's 10 Biggest Lies of 2010? You Google, we find that in Rusty Cole. You have a lot to do. Do you want any help? I don't have a job right now. I'm happy to help. You know, somebody sent me a formula to do that freaking Google spreadsheet thing, and I still can't get it to work out. We may have stuff to do, Rusty, but it's all sort of stuff that, like, we need to do here in the office and whatnot, but maybe. Send me an email. Klug in Portland, your PayPal account cards. At your PayPal account, cards are an option. Well, yeah, you just people don't want to use PayPal at all as a service. create page with both card account transfer and PayPal. Yeah, I know, but I want to just get a whole nother credit card system. At the Republican convention, Schwarzenegger became a Republican after listening to a televised debate right between Hubert Humphrey and Nixon in 68. But there was no debate because Nixon was scared of TV to repeat his debate. Yeah, there you go. Gravitune. I can also volunteer with Mac help if you need any. Thank you, Gravitune. Send us an email. I think we're okay on that side. But DePaulo was in the excellent Louis C.K. show. It's on Netflix streaming. If you missed it, it was the best show of 2010. Oh, I did not miss it at all. In fact, Louis showed me the pilot a year ago in July upstate.
I just saw it for the first time.
You know, okay. Some of them were really good, some of them were uneven, but some of them were just transcendent.
Yeah, some of them were real good.
And as he got better at it, I think they got better. All right, folks, see you tomorrow. Remember, become a member. Become a member. Oh, somebody wants info on an idea for a sponsorship in Majority Club. That's good. All right, talk to you later. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb.